From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, another edition of the Stakeholder Spotlight with Donato DP. That would be Dominic. Dominic, let's get right into it, man. How you doing?
I'm good, Steve. How you doing?
Man, good, good. Anywhere you would like to go in the world of sports, the floor is yours. We're going to hear you dialogue on anything that's on your mind, our teams, players, what has you excited, not excited. The floor is yours, man. Let's talk.
Okay. I'd rather start with one of the sports I'm not least interested in, but not as much as I am two others, like the NFL, for example. Though I'm a Jets fan, I'm not one of those Jet fans that hate the Giants. I follow the Giants. That's from my years of being away from home and supporting all our New York teams. But I like the way both teams are going. The only thing I'm confused with the Giants, because I was thinking about this, is with that draft pick. I've had this conversation with you before about Barkley. But then I had this epiphany, you know, the day is going to come where the Giants are going to have to move forward from Eli. Do you sacrifice that pick to get somebody that's going to fill those shoes? Do you go with Barkley and hope you strike gold later on in the draft? That's my little quagmire that I see with the Giants. I love what they're doing because they got the guy from Carolina. So he's going to be that back to that defensive-minded, you know, in your face. And with a guy like Barkley, you'll have time to ground and pound, take some pressure off of Eli, at least for the next 2 years, and then the Giants could possibly look down the road of who's going to replace Eli. But you have a building block in Barkley. Being a Jets fan, well, through all the years of suffering, I kind of like what they're doing too. People might think they sacrifice too much to go up in the draft, but depending on what they're looking for. And with the Jets, you always got to look at that with one eye open, one eye closed. They still have a good defensive team. They got Pryor. So are they going to go in that direction of a quarterback? Possibly. So we'll see with that. I'm just not that into football to get into all the nuts and bolts. I'm more into the Giants. I mean, the Knicks and the Yankees and the NBA, of course, and MLB. As far as the Knicks, we've had these conversations a million times, but to get to air out some of your grievances, I think it's been far too long that we as fans – have suffered a lot of misery trying to deal with the Knicks' patience and their ineptness. That's become a dead issue with a lot of fans, especially longtime fans, those that call in every week. We've seen this for far too long. So it's high time they try, at least try, Steve. Nobody's saying you got to get it totally right, but at least try to put a product on the floor that corresponds with the great patience we've had with the Knicks. You know, it's been far too long. We've discussed this over and over again. Most losses in 15 years, haven't been a contender since 99. One good season after that, the 54 win smoke and mirrors. So there's a lot that goes into being a Knicks fan, and we as fans have shown patience. And what have we really gotten by having these patience? 65 losses. You know, guys that have been Knicks fans as long as me, that's a record. You know, we could go back to the misery days. We never lost 65 games. At that time, I think we was in our 70th year in the NBA. So in 70 years, we had never eclipsed that many losses. And here we are as fans. We stick with it. You know, oh, they'll get a draft pick. They'll do this. They'll do that. But it's really not happening. So I to sit here and say I have the answers would be, you know, embarrassing, but there's got to be an answer, Steve. Going forward, your draft picks, how do we mix and match these young players with some seasoned veterans? That seems to be a real pain in the Knicks' side because who wants to come here? So that being said, it's going to be a long way, and I'd like to, for those that normally tune in during the week on our Wednesday show, I made a mistake last week. With the new draft and the new lottery, it goes from 25% to 14% this year. So where does that leave you with the old adages of tanking? Well, you're not going to get rewarded as highly as you was before. So that's something else fans really need to take into consideration when they keep talking this tanking that hasn't worked. I mean, you show me a team, Steve. I mean, all the years that the Sixers so-called tanked, and it still took them years to get the players they got from tanking on their team to actually be on the floor. So I don't know where you go with that. And then we can look at other teams that whether they tanked on purpose or just didn't have the talent, it hasn't worked for them. Sacramento, Phoenix. You know, there's a ton of teams that have lost every year for the last so many years. Where's their reward? There is no reward. There's no reward to that. And I started thinking about something else in that realm with the NBA. You know, what is really happening? Is it let's tank and get a draft pick versus all the talent going to one team? While everybody's saying the NBA is in a great place, which it is, you know, as far as ratings, money, revenue. But is it gotten to the point now where it's equally as guilty with what the players in the NBA are doing with the teaming up, and you have 3 to 4 so-called super teams. So if you're a team that is tanking, what are you gaining? You're not catching them because all the talent is located on a few teams. Now, those draft picks you get, yeah, they might pan out, but how long is it going to be, Steve, before they start getting that mentality? Oh, I could go play with, let's say, Embiid. He'll be around for quite a few years. I'll just go play with Embiid and Simmons. So that still leaves the Phoenixes, the Mavericks, possibly the Knicks, still on the short side of that stick. This is where I get confused with the NBA. You know, you got a good product. I don't know how you stop it, Steve. This is just me talking out loud. I don't know how you stop it. I'm assuming the new draft lottery and you're not going to get as rewarded as you did before, you know. But as long as these guys keep doing what they're doing, it's not helping the league overall. Again, discussions we have had before, the NBA is going to sell you and me that invest hundreds of dollars, like for league pass. And then they're going to tell us come June, you're going to see the greatest championship in the world with Cleveland and Golden State. And we've seen it for how many years? So the parity issue is still less than desirable because it's not like, let's say, MLB, where only a few years ago the Kansas City Royals won the World Series. Okay, they didn't win back-to-back because here comes another young and upcoming team. So, and the league is a little more balanced out when it comes to the superstars, the talent. You still got your bad teams, the Marlins, the Padres. But it's at least to me as a fan, they have a more balanced system where the talent isn't solely located, whether the NBA located in the Western Conference versus the Eastern Conference. It's just gotten to be really – it's really hard to watch. I mean, it's, like I said, as far as the NBA has come, it's kind of hard to watch that, you know, you're going to suffer through 8 months of the NBA season. And then at the end, you're going to see the same two teams in the championship. Some may say that's great, you know, Ollie Frazier 3. It just don't sit well with some fans, namely me. So I don't know what they do with that. Again, we had conversations before, Steve. Let's go with the first 16 teams. Regardless of record, we'll work out the logistics later. Because this will at least make teams compete. You can't go 40-42 and make the playoffs, where a few years we had that in the Eastern Conference. So will that, you know, strengthen or motivate other teams and create better balance? I don't know. Some may say, and again, we had this conversation, the logistics, hypothetically the Lakers have to play the Knicks. Well, again, we're giving teams plenty of rest. They'll get rest and they'll be in each city for 2 to 3 games or 2-3-2, go back to that system. Something has to be worked out to make it at least enjoyable, because you're going to see the same teams, but now we're going to see the best 16 teams, not you know, again, somebody 40 and 42 in the East, they're going to get knocked out in the first round. And the likelihood of a one beating a 16 seed is probably just as good, but at least you're creating more of a competitive balance. You just can't do it no more. So in other words, the NBA has made great strides to enhance the league, but there's still a couple of pegs they got to put in the right holes. They did it with the draft. All that's going to change next year. So why not just attempt to go with the 1 through 16? I don't know why. Maybe one day, you know, we could all say, well, I'm old school. I remember it this way. Well, yeah, I remember when gas was a dollar a gallon. It's not like that no more. You got to move with the change in times. So I hope the NBA does that, and we'll see what happens. And, again, getting back to our Knicks, that's just – it hasn't worked for them. We've seen what happened this year. We have guys that call in every week. Let's fire the coach. I think we've done that 4 out of the last 5 seasons. We've done that. We get a pick that we think is going to be this, and he may be that down the road. But, again, it goes back to that patience as a Knicks fan. We've heard these stories. We've seen this movie. And the movie always seems to end the same way, with us reinventing the wheel after 2 or 3 years. You can say what we want about developing a culture. I understand that wholeheartedly, Steve. But you also need talent. Culture may be great for the chemistry and whatever, but I haven't heard of a culture winning a championship. You've got to have the product to develop that culture, and you need that leadership on the bench and on the floor. And that leads me to the other quagmire the Knicks have put us in with the rotation of point guards. That seems to be bizarre to any outsider looking in. I mean, I think, if I'm not mistaken, we've went through about 4 or 5 point guards this year without even counting Sessions. We went through too many point guards. And now we get the Knicks fans that see the end of the season nearing, as every January, February, March for us, play the young players. Let's see what they have. But they might not even be around. So are we really showcasing talent, or are we just waving the white flag again? That's you could blame the coach, as we discuss every week, but put yourself in that coach's position. Every time you turn around, you're playing a new point guard. Then a player goes down. Now you're replacing that player. We have enough confusion, that point guard. Now we got to flip-flop, let's say, the KPs for the Beasleys. You know, it's just on and on and on with the Knicks, which brings me to KP, another conversation we've had a million times. The big man's disease, the running out of energy, not being totally productive for four quarters. Is this the guy moving forward? Is he going to be our piece? We've had him for 3 years. I'm not saying every free agent should be knocking down the Knicks' door to play with the Porzingis, because this is another a falsity we hear from a lot of Knicks fans. Oh, once we get rid of Melo, it's KP's team. Now players may decide they want to come and play with Porzingis. Well, in 3 years, I haven't seen it. Now, granted, Melo just left this year. But looking down the road with all this revolving door the Knicks have, who wants to come to this? I mean, if we as fans see this, NBA players are seeing it. You talk about culture. Some guys want culture. Some guys want cohesion. Somebody wants an organization that at least seems to have their foot going in the right direction. Why would I want to go backwards? Why would I leave the San Antonio Spurs to come play for the Knicks? Somebody explain that to me. It's not a good trade-off. And until the Knicks get their you-know-what together, this is what we're going to have. And it's sad, again, as a Knicks fan. We put in a lot, and our return has not been a great investment. Again, Steve, we're going back to 1999. We have made the playoffs 3 times since Patrick Ewing exited the Garden. 3 times. And only 1 time if we got out the first round. But we've stood loyal. We stood loyal to that product. We stood loyal to that dream that the Knicks will be the Knicks again. Well, so far, not so good. I will always go to our friend Marlo, you know, where he gets to that, you know, that bridge mentality. I can't watch no more. I'm not there yet. But I bet a lot of Knicks fans are. And it happens every year. I think that's what's the most disheartening part about being a Knicks fan. so far within the last 4 or 5 years, come January, we know our season's over. We have not played a meaningful basketball game. Hold on, Steve. Oh, man. Can you hear me, Steve?
Loud and clear, loud and clear.
Okay. No, I was saying we put up with it for the last 4 or 5 years that some of us, like myself, who's a baseball fan, look forward to March and April because I have nothing to look forward to with the Knicks. So, which brings me to our Yankees. The light at the end of the tunnel seem to be doing pretty good in spring training. I think they faltered today. They gave up a couple of home runs. But here we go again, Steve, with the plan and the movement. You know, the Yankees finally decided, hey, you know, other than getting Stanton, which basically fell in our lap, we did not go out and hunt him down as a free agent, overpay him. He actually fell in our lap via a trade. But the Yankees realized moving forward, it was going to be more than just spending money. We had all this young talent. Let's give him a shot. If it don't work, then we go in another direction, but at least stick with that plan. And so far, so good. You know, with the Birds, the Sanchezes, the Judges. You know, these are our guys. You know, just like with the Knicks. We have these draft picks that may last 2 to 3 years, hopefully. You know, if they're that good, hopefully they stick around. Will they want to stick around? With the Yankees, it's you bring them up. They feel that pride of playing for the Yankees. I know I beat this to death. There's just something different. We can go over the ledge with that as Yankee fans, with the pride of the Yankees and the pinstripes, but there is something special about that. This is a winning organization who has a winning culture, who knows what they're doing. So when you see the Yankees shift gears the way they did, you scratch your head for a second. But then again, if you're a real Yankee fan, you heard about some of these kids they was trying to bring up from the minors, who they were grooming in the minors. And now all of a sudden, here they are. Now, did we catch lightning in a bottle last year with these guys? Maybe a little too young? Yeah, possibly. So do we go off the edge and, you know, we're World Series or bust this year? No. No, because if you're a Yankee fan and you're watching what they're doing, you're seeing this wasn't built for overnight success. Again, another Nick problem from the past. We can't get overnight success. That's not going to happen. We know it's not going to happen. So the Yankees have put their best foot forward, mixed the youth with some seasoned veterans, and puff the magic dragon. Here we are. We're being talked about in baseball again, whether you like it or not, whether you love the Yankees, whether you hate the Yankees. We're in the conversation. And at the end of the day, Steve, that's all I think fans want. That's it. We want to see something for our loyalty, our fandom, as Marlo likes to say. This is all we want. We don't, again, I'm not going to go to the nearest bridge, Steve, if the Yankees don't win the World Series this year. I know they have plenty of talent moving forward. So I'm not going to go that crazy, nor do I go into, as I think we have for probably the last 4 years, me calling in on the Bleed Blue Show. I don't think nobody, Steve, and I wouldn't quote nobody, but I don't think nobody's ever called in the Bleed Blue Show in October and saying, with the Knicks, it's championship or bust. No, we say the same thing every year. We want to be competitive. We want to see something moving forward. You know, you may laugh about it, but can we be an eight seed? We never went over the ledge and said, this is a do-or-die year. For as much suffering as we've had, we should be thinking like that, but we don't. You know, we go in with a level head, you know, glass half empty. We don't expect that much. We just expect a product that is worthy of our money and worthy of our loyalty to this organization. With the Yankees, you get it back. With the Knicks, you don't. What's the problem, Steve? I don't know. We've had a million examples. Dolan, Jackson, you know, the curse of Patrick Ewing. We've had curses on the Yankees. You know, I remember when Tino Martinez left. It seemed like we couldn't get out our way for a few years. But we still put the best foot forward. For some reason, it's like the Knicks are stuck in quicksand. And every move they make seems to just bring us back in that 360. We hire Perry, we keep Mills. So now we're still looking at that one eye open, one eye closed. Is Mills the problem? Will they give Perry the chance to do his own thing? But again, Steve, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, through all this misery we have suffered, Mills has been a part of it. I'm not saying you fire the guy. I wouldn't want to see nobody lose their job. But, again, there's one constant in all of this, and that's Steve Mills. So we could do the math. We could slice it, dice it any way we want. But he has been a constant in this clog. So, but that being said, getting back to the Yankees, again, we have something to look forward to. And as fans, that's all I want, Steve. I can't speak for every fan. I wouldn't try. But that's all we want as a fan. You guys, for example, I listen to you guys. I follow you guys. I listen to your Giants talk. That's all y'all want is Giants, man. And guess what, Steve? Y'all have been successful. Y'all have been successful. Y'all have seen Super Bowls in the last 100 years. We haven't seen that as Knicks fans, nor have I seen it as a Jets fan. So at least you guys got something to hang your head on as Giants fans. You may not win it every year, but for the most part, Steve, the Giants stay competitive. Had a couple of downslides, but they gave you something to root for every year. You didn't say it's over in equivalency to the NBA, you know, in game four. You know, four games into the season, Giants fans are hanging their heads saying, oh, the season's over. No, you haven't suffered that much. And it seemed like the Giants decided one day to wake up, get a new GM, get a new coach, wiggle their way to the second-round draft pick. Again, Steve, giving you something as a fan to look forward to. You'll have your debates, whether Giants draft Barkley or some quarterback. You'll have your debates. But you'll have a process of moving forward. You can't stay dormant. I think that may have been, I hate to say it, that may have been the Giants' problem. Not bashing Eli, but as watching the Giants, I always had in the back of my head, because Eli has been consistent, he hasn't been injured, I always had in the back of my head, what's the plan after Eli? You know, where do we go? Where do Giants fans, where do the Giants go life after Eli? But this year, they may be able to answer that question. You know, he's not going to last forever. Giants fans know that, and I'm pretty sure the Giant organization knows that. Thank him for what he's done. Don't go off the ledge when the Giants decide to move in another direction. Thank the man. That's where we as fans get so unappreciative. We live in a society of what will you do for me next, not what have you done for me lately. So sometimes as a fan, you got to sit back and say, okay, I see this direction. And that's what I see with you guys, see. You know, I skipped over when you first put me on the line that, you know, I'm thankful and appreciative that you took the time to do this to me, with me. But I'm more thankful and appreciative of what you've done to give people this forum to sit back and vent, or as some guys on Wednesday night say, have therapy. You know, you have to be commended for that. Because there's a lot to discuss. You know, again, I happened to tap into you Giants fans one night, and that was probably one of the best educational sessions I ever listened to, because I didn't get on till the end. Didn't really want to get on. I just wanted to hear it. But that was probably one of the best shows. You've done this for a while, Steve. You can feel and hear the passion between a Giants podcast and a Knicks podcast. Even with you guys having a bad season, I didn't hear that despair that we hear a lot when we do the Wednesday night shows with the Knicks. I got to give you Giant fans credit for that. And I'm pretty sure, Steve, that you guys have your, oh, God, moments. But for the most part, at least the one episode that I tuned into, that was great. So you have to be commended for that, Steve, because you took some good and some bad. I mean, we could go down the line. The Knicks, the Rangers, the Giants, the Yankees, and now that the Yankees are on the upside, okay. But you've endured some bad seasons with 3 of them 14. So you should definitely be commended. And it's a great outlet, Steve. I'm not saying this because we're on the phone. It is a great outlet for all four of those teams. Me, predominantly the Knicks, which I want to change because I'd rather get into the Yankee conversations. But the Knicks always seem to be that hot topic because it always seems to be a tad bit confusing to the naked eye. You know, we don't do this, we do that. We do this, we don't do that. We don't stick to nothing. And again, going back to the earlier part, what do we do now, Steve? We're going to fire the coach? Okay. That seems to be par for the course with the Knicks. We get rid of the coach. We'll get a draft pick. We'll praise him up until January. You'll have the Twitter beefs of we should have picked this guy, we should have picked that guy. Hey, the NBA lottery is what it is. Basically a crapshoot. We could go down the list of names that have been first-round picks that have been bust. Then we could flip the script and say, well, this guy was drafted second and became, you know, in the second round, and he became a star. Again, it's a crapshoot. But with that crapshoot, Steve, you must have a vision of where we're going with all of this. We can't keep spinning the wheels round and around and the revolving door. Again, I hate to keep flip-flopping, but again, going back to what the Yankees have done. They have pieces in place now. Do you honestly think that the Yankees are going to try to disrupt, reinvent this wheel for at least the next 3 to 4 years? I doubt it. The only issue they may have in the upcoming year is Didi. You know, his contract is up yet this year. How hard are the Yankees going to push to keep him? But we can live with that. We can live with one position. We can't live with the Knicks mentality of rotating every position every year. There's no continuity. So is the coach going to come in with this magic wand? No. You still got to have talent. You still got to have a vision. You still have to have a plan. I don't know of any coach, Steve. I hear all the rumblings, Mark Jackson. Yeah, that'll last for a year and a half, and then we'll be saying, well, you know, he didn't do this right, he didn't do that right, maybe he's not right for the job. Well, you know what? That's what we do. We rotate players in and out of our organization. We rotate coaches. Thought we hit pay dirt with Phil Jackson. Many Knicks fans know that have been true Knicks fans. That set us back a good 4 or 5 years. How did that culture mentality work out for us then? Culture, no talent, 65 losses. Think about that for a minute. Phil Jackson happened to be a member of the last New York championship team. So he actually went full circle with the Knicks from our best to our worst. That's got to be some strange irony in itself that he took us as a member of a Knicks championship team, though he wasn't a vital part. He was on that team to take us from that to the organization's most losses in the history of the franchise has to be unbelievable. But then what did we do? We got rid of him. And then we bring in Perry. But we still have Mills. So, and if I'm not mistaken, Steve, I think we're up to 4 coaches. So why not? I kind of caved in to Chandler. You know, okay, you guys are adamant on getting a new coach. Let's get a new coach and see where it takes it. You still got to have the talent, Steve, and this is where the Knicks are lacking. You have Porzingis. After Porzingis, you have question marks. Will Ntilikina be this, be that? Is he going to be a point guard, an off guard, a small forward, a power forward, a center, a water boy? Who knows? His whole perception or fans' perception of him have changed probably 2 or 3 times since October. Now, I'm pretty sure the Knicks have a plan. Hopefully, I should say. Hopefully, the Knicks have a plan for him moving forward. We as fans could say what we want. He might be a better fit here. He might be a better fit there. But again, Steve, it becomes another question mark. And that seems to be our most haunting scenario every year. There's so many question marks. And we're going to go into next season with more question marks. Who we drafted? Did Neil Aquino progress? When will KP be back? Is this another lost season? And then we'll be talking about 2019, 2020, 2021. And again, I go back to the opening. How many of these guys will be around? What's the likelihood of a Burke, who seemed to play well this year, what's the likelihood of him being in Nick next year? Jack, well, we all know he's on his last leg. He gave us his best. Let's thank him. He ain't going to be a part of the Knicks. Some of these young players we're playing now, they might not be part of the Knicks. So basically, looking forward, you have two constants other than who they draft this year, Neil Aquino and Porzingis. Which brings us back to, is Porzingis the guy you bankrolled your future with his durability, with his running out of oxygen after 32 minutes every game? Started out like a gangbuster this year, but slowly but surely faded. And then we started tracking his minutes, and after 32 minutes, he went south. So again, another question mark. We got to start getting rid of those question marks and putting a period. This isn't a question mark no more. This is what we got. This is what we're moving forward with. If you fall on your face with a viable plan, Steve, fans will accept that. Me, I will. I'll speak for myself as a fan. I will accept that, that you had a plan. Okay, the plan didn't come to total fruition, but you had a plan. You didn't look as dazed and confused as you have for the last 18, 19 years. You know, there's no, like I said before, Steve, there's no guarantee with all the great pieces the Yankees have put together, the youth, the pitching, the bullpen. There's no guarantee that we're going to win. But you see the vision, Steve. You see it in front of you. You could almost touch it. There's not many question marks as we go into this season with the Yankees. We have, you know, we have the Will Tanaka be, Ken CeCe be. Those are your basic question marks, but you see the product moving forward. Great bullpen, decent infield, good hitting, a lot of power. Again, if that does not work, Steve, you showed me a plan. Something may have happened from point A to point B with that plan, but you showed us a plan. You gave us something to look forward to. We haven't had that with the Knicks. And this isn't a bash the Knicks session. We had that before where you say, and some people say, all we do is bash the Knicks. You know what? Sometimes the truth hurts, but it heals. And if you're lying, then it's going to come back to haunt you. But we're not lying. We're actually saying what we're seeing. And what we're seeing moving forward is even more confusing of what we're seeing now. You can't get to the future, Steve, without sewing up some holes from the past. It just don't work like that in life and in sports. It sounds simple, but again, Steve, show me a team that has no plan, no vision, and I'll show you the Phoenix Suns, the Kansas City Royals, numerous teams in the NFL. This is what they have. It's not, I'm not saying it's super easy, Steve, but it's not that hard for a fan to sit back and say, wow, I see this. I can actually see this. Hey, Steve, this seems like it may work. Steve might say, Dom, you're going a little off the ledge. But somewhere, somehow, Steve, more than one or two fans are going to say, you know what, I kind of see that too. And you see the consistency. And you see the stability. Now, granted, the Yankees are in a different boat because they have Brian Cashman. He has been that stability for years. We've intermingled pieces, players, but we've always had Brian Cashman. Now you take Brian Cashman's tenure with the Yankees and put it up against Steve Mills' tenure with the Knicks, it's apples and oranges. Let's not get it twisted. The Yankees had a couple of down seasons. You know, the down season for the Yankees is not making the playoffs. Can't remember when's the last time we had a losing record. But our goal with the Yankees is the playoffs. Our goal with the Knicks is compete, have a winning record, you know, let's strike gold and be an eighth seed. That's our vision for the Knicks. And it starts and ends right there, see? You know, if you can't get the talent, then you could get any coach. The Yankees took a shot in the dark, getting Aaron Boone. But guess what? They still have Cashman. He still knows how to get the pieces. He puts the right pegs in the right holes, and the Yankees move along. I can't understand why it's so hard for the Knicks to do that. You look and you got two organizations. You got two organizations in the same city, Steve. And I love the Knicks fans' enthusiasm that the Knicks are the heartbeat of the city. I'm from New York. It was never like that for me, even though I love the Knicks. My heartbeat was always the Yankees because they gave my heart something to beat for. The Knicks haven't done that in ages. Thank God, Steve, I'm old enough to have seen the last championship. But guys coming on board now, as we discussed Wednesday, what history are we selling them, Steve? The average fan catching on to basketball right now wasn't alive when the Knicks made the championship the last time, let alone won one. So what are we showing them moving forward? And then again, what are these new NBA fans saying, Steve, that LeBron, Wade, and Bosh could team up and chase rings for 3-4 years? Paul ends up with Harden, and this one ends up with Westbrook. Durant takes his talents to a talented team. This is what the new fans are seeing. So they're making it look easy. Well, all I need is for my favorite play to go to Houston, Golden State. And, wow, I'm golden for the next 3-4 years. That's your new wave fan. What do they call them? Millennials, millennium, whatever. This is what they've seen, Steve, since – I guess LeBron took his talents to South Beach. This is what the new fans have seen. They haven't seen no real from the bottom of the barrel building, moving forward, becoming successful. They've seen instant success in the NBA. They haven't endured what we endured. Hell, see, there ain't many fans in the league or around it that can say, I've been a Knicks fan since. I've been a LeBron fan since. So that means I've been a fan of three teams. I've been a Chris Paul fan. So I've been a – no, you ain't been a fan. You've been a follower. You know, your whole life revolves around following an individual, not an organization. So you don't know the pain. You really don't know the pain of what it's like to suffer with an organization. Because guess what? Chris Paul played pretty good, was on a good team with the Clippers. Harden was on a good team with OKC. You know, LeBron was on a good team with Miami, built a good team in Cleveland. Durant goes from a super team to a super, super team. So you don't know the struggle. We always talk about the struggle. You don't know the struggle of being a fan of a team where we've seen a lot of it over the last few years, Steve, with the addition of Melo. We had more Melo fans than we had Knicks fans. And some of them still can't let it go. You know, if Melo was here, if look what Melo's doing now. Well, you know what? Truth be told, the wheels were falling off Melo before he went to OKC. It's only a matter of time. You know, he was a one-dimensional player. He's going to be a one-dimensional player for his whole career. So, but when he came to the Knicks, we seem to have attracted more individual fans, like the fans of today, that, okay, I'm going to support the Knicks because I love Melo. And then what happens when Melo leaves? You're all of a sudden an OKC fan. You don't know the struggle. You don't know what it's like to be a real Knicks fan. You're into this, you know, instant potatoes. Add some water, butter, milk, twist it up, and you got potatoes. It's not like that for real fans, Steve. We know it. We've been Knicks fans. We've been Yankee fans. You know, we know what it's like to support a team, not an individual. But this is where we're going with the NBA, and that's what I said earlier, Steve. I think I blame a lot of the players for other teams having to so-called tank because the talent is not evenly distributed. You know, again, Steve, I'm Kevin Durant. I lose in the Western Conference Finals. I go to the team I lost to. People can say what they want. There's a heads and a tails with that, but that's unprecedented, Steve. I don't remember that ever happening again. You ever hear the old expression, can't beat him, join him? Well, he actually lived that out. So you not only built up a team that was already built up, you sort of basically, minus Westbrook, diminished the team you was on. So where does the balance, you know, come back full circle with that? It don't. It just don't. So now you have a team that won a chip, the year before he went, win a chip, possibly win another one this year, but you left a pretty good team. You know, he didn't leave the Phoenix Suns to go play with Golden State. I think I would have been able to absorb that one a little better. You went to a team, and if I'm not mistaken, Steve, did they go seven games with Golden State the year before he went there? Or
correct.
I don't know how many
yep.
games it was, but
it was seven.
You played a team. Seven. You played a team you was competitive with in a conference final. But then again, Steve, this is the new NBA. Don't like it? Move on and go to a better team. You know, life ain't that easy, but in the NBA it is. So, again, you're not only building up yourself and building up a team that's already built up, you're stomping the other teams. Again, the Knicks will get a good, let's say 6-9. Let's just for argument's sake say the Knicks will get a 6-9 draft pick. Is that going to bring them over the top? No. Nah. Is that going to lure a free agent to say, well, you know what, I see the direction they're going in? No. Because the blueprint has been set. I'm going to take my talents to a talented team. And again, Steve, people could bash the Yankees. Stanton fell in our lap. We didn't pursue Stanton. He wanted a trade. He had a few teams he wanted to go to. The Yankees put their best foot forward. Bang. He didn't threaten Major League Baseball and say, I'm taking my talents to the New York Yankees. No. He fell in our lap. Durant didn't fall in Golden State's lap. LeBron and Bosh didn't fall in Miami's lap. They chose to do this. Now, did that one move, Steve, set the NBA back? There's an argument on both sides for that. And there's some that believe that that will be LeBron's legacy, that he somehow did the NBA a disjustice, a disservice by what he did. Because look what's happened after that. LaMarcus Aldridge, he could have went to the Knicks. Why would he do that? I could go to the Spurs. Wow, that's a no-brainer. Do you blame the player? No, you don't. But the league has made it in such where, okay, we'll clear space for this guy to go here. Let's just forget about the Phoenixes, you know, the real, real, real bottom tier teams. And we'll just keep building up these teams. Hence the reason you got to look at teams, Steve, like the Utah Jazz, the Denver Nuggets, that with all of this happening around them, losing player after player, still remain competitive, possibly going down to the last week of the season with a chance to make the playoffs. And you tell me right now that either one of those teams, Knicks being healthy, argument's sake, from October to now, that these teams had that much more talent than the Knicks. It's a toss-up. But the thing about them, Steve, is they stood competitive. They kept their head down. You know, there was some form of a goal, some sort of a vision for them when the season started. You can laugh all you want, Steve, about being an eighth seed. But being an eighth seed and you ain't been in the playoffs in 5-6 years, that's moving forward. You're showing progression. You're showing this to the same young players you say play in January, February, and March. You don't build somebody up, see, by always losing. You don't build somebody up and show them confidence by total confusion with different coaches, different this. You don't build nothing doing that. You build dissension. I don't know how you build cohesion, pride. You build a dissension. You come into this arena scratching your head. Am I going to be here next year? Shoot. Am I going to be here next week? That's what seems to be the Knicks thorn in his side. Forgive me for saying it. You know, again, I don't want this to be a Knicks bashing session, but they seem to be the hot topic because of their buffoonery. It's not because of their success. Steve, come on. Let's be honest. If we endured two seasons of this over the last 8 years, we would say, hey, you know what? We see where we're going, folks. Just like I said about you and your Giant fans. You've had success. All right. We fell off, but we got a new GM. We got a new coach. We're going to get a good pick. You see steps, Steve. but you've had success. But during the times you fell and faltered, you're back to that point of you see a vision. I keep using that word. You see a vision. The Knicks fall, stumble, no vision, and us fans are looking like, what the hell? You know, am I really watching this? It's hard. It's hard to swallow, Steve, as a fan. Again, I go back to we put our loyalty, we put our blood, sweat, and tears into an organization that our return has been negative. We have gotten no return on our investment in 5 years. We're possibly going to lose 50 games in a row for 4 or 5 years. Where's our return as a fan, Steve? That's all we want.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. When did you become a fan of all three teams, the Yankees, the Jets, and the Knicks, and why did you become a fan of those three teams?
The Knicks, 1970. The Yankees, probably 2 years after I was born, because I grew up in the house with a bizarre mother who was a loyal Yankee fan. I couldn't imagine telling her I liked any other team. The Jets, around 68, I was a little boy. And what I say, the Knicks, the Jets, Yankees, I was just grandfathered into that one. Don't really have a hockey team, but with the Yankees it was easy, Steve. I'm hearing the stories as a little boy of my mother listening to the Yankee games on the radio. I couldn't imagine coming home one day when I was old enough. She actually waited, not to get off the subject, but it's still sport. She actually waited till I started playing Little League Baseball. And she used to come to every game. I was raised by just a mother. And she used to come to every game. And I'll never forget one day we was coming home. She said, hey, I see you're really into this baseball. Who's your favorite team? And she said it like Freddy Krueger. I was like, I'm a Yankee fan. You sure? I said, yeah, I'm a Yankee fan. You're a Yankee fan because I was a Yankee fan. Well, sort of. But remember, Steve, from my childhood up into, what was it, 76, 77, still a young boy when the Yankees made that turnaround. You know, they got swept by Cincinnati, then they won. Then they fell off from 77, Steve, till I think it was 82 when they lost to the Dodgers. So we've had some peaks and valleys with the Yankees since I've been alive. You know, my mother could go back to, well, God rest her soul. She could go back to probably, because she told me a strange stat. In the year 2000, Steve, she told me, she was older than that. She said, you know something, Dominic? When you look at the Yankees and their championships, in 100 years, they have averaged winning the World Series at least every 4 years. When you break it down into average, 100 years, I think they had 25 rings at that time. She said, that's like saying they won the World Series every 4 years. Can you tell me a sports team that's done that? And I was older than Craig. I mean, Steven, I knew sports. And I was like, no, honestly, but I can't. I mean, I really don't know the Montreal Canadiens history. I know they got a lot of championships. But did they have 25 in a 100-year span? I doubt it. I doubt it very seriously. So that's how football and basketball, I actually tugged on that one myself. You know, the Knicks, well, when I was a kid, we had the Knicks and we actually had the Nets playing in New York when they was in the ABA, then came to the NBA. But that was like, you know, something distant because, you know, I grew up in the Bronx. So, the Nets, they played out on some island. That's what we used to say. Who are these guys? They play on an island. So you had your Knicks, you know. That was a pretty no-brainer. And then, like I said, the Jets, I don't even know how I became a Jet. But I'll tell you what, Steve. In all my years being a Jets fan, I never once disliked the Giants because they were still my team. Again, traveling the world for 20-plus years, I couldn't imagine being in what we used to call a day room, watching a football game, and the Giants are in the Super Bowl, and I'm saying I'm going for the Patriots. You must be crazy. They're still my team. They're my town. Matter of fact, see, quick story. The year that they beat the Patriots when the Patriots was undefeated, I don't know the exact year. You probably do. But 07, I was I had to be 08 because I just I was a logistics manager at the hotel at Dover Air Force Base. I was a civilian. I asked the hotel manager, I said, "Hey, Major, can we all get together, have a Super Bowl party in the day room?" They had the big TV, you know, where all the housekeepers used to gather for lunch, and we had functions. He said, "Sure, Dom, as long as you clean up, I have no problem." There we are watching the Giants and the Patriots, and I'm like, this is unbelievable. And to see the way the game ended, I was like, this is unreal. And then everybody, of course, gets on. "I thought you was a Jets fan." I am a Jets fan. I'm not denying my Jetshood, but the Giants happen to play in my city. You want me to go for the Patriots? That would be like the Red Sox playing the Mets, which happened to me when I was in Germany. You think I was going to pull for the Red Sox because it wasn't the Yankees and go against the Mets? I'm not that kind of fan, Steve. I love my team, but I'm not turning my back on my city. That ain't happening. And mind you, Steve, the Mets was playing, who was it? The Red Sox in 1986, Steve. And I was waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning watching a baseball game. And in the ninth inning, I was putting on my running gear to go run PT at 6:15. But I was up every morning at 2 o'clock representing my city because that's how it was. You know, you're from New York. But believe me, Steve, 90% knew I was a Yankee fan. But if the Mets would have lost that World Series, I'd have been taunted, haunted for how many weeks? Because they would have kept saying, "Well, what happened to New York?" They wouldn't have said, "What happened to the Mets?" They would have said, "What happened to New York?" Yeah, it wasn't about me being a Yankee fan no more. Your city lost. But when my city won, it was, "I thought you was a Yankee fan." Oh, here we go. That really? I mean, I'd go for the Islanders if they was in the Cup. You know, it's just that, again, Steve, it goes back to how I started this, with the pride we exhibit and the pride in which I exhibited in my city, that I just want a little return. That's all. I want to be able to walk outside. And I told you this the other day. I want to be able to walk outside in the great state of North Carolina with my Knicks hat on and not get lambasted by 7 out of 10 people I run across. "Oh, you're a Knicks fan." Go in the car, same day, put on my Yankee hat, and it's like, "Oh, you're a Yankee fan. Oh, yeah." Yeah, the conversation changes so quickly. But it's just, to me, Steve, it's always been since I ever joined the military and then retired, and still I've lived in two different places since I retired. It's always been that pride of my city. Again, I have my favorites, but it's always been that pride in the city. And that's all I ever wanted in return is I want a little something. For the blood, sweat, and tears I put towards y'all, and I'm not asking for much. The competitive, a vision, a plan, I don't think I'm asking for much as a fan. So on that, I'm still waiting for my return. I've seen, Steve, in my lifetime, I have seen enough returns on my Yankees. So I look at that a little differently where, "Oh, man, I ain't seen a ring since." No. We've seen one. People in the bizarre world of show me now, it ain't been that long ago, see. Because we're the Yankees, it seems like eternity that we've won a World Series. But it hasn't been 40 years. No. It's that spoiledness people think you have for being a Yankee fan because of our history. And To really think about it, Steve, in our lifetime, the Yankees probably won 75% of their World Series before we were born. But it's still a part of our history. Now, that history, again, comes back to haunt you when they don't win. "Oh, you guys always talk about your 27 rings, but you ain't won one since." Damn, man, y'all make it sound like we didn't win one since 1960. Really? We won one in the 2000s. We're still in the 2000s. How many other teams have not won a World Series since 2009? Or what year was it? 2009, I think. How many teams have not won a World Series since 2009? I can't even count them, Steve. I can't. I really can't. I mean, you think about baseball. Kansas City Royals won the World Series, by in part with the way the luxury tax in Major League Baseball is disseminated. The Yankees exceed the cap. Their money goes back in the pool, helps fund the Kansas City Royals. They win a World Series. So basically, we should have got part of that ring. But that being said, how many teams have not won a World Series since the last time we've won one? People make it seem like ancient history. It's not. It's not ancient history. Shoot, the Jets haven't sniffed the Super Bowl since the last time the Yankees won the World Series. So that's my downside, Steve, being a Jets and a Knicks fan. I always tell you this, you know, come March, April, you know, my mentality, my drive, my motivation towards sports tends to shift because here comes the Yankees. And I know I'm going to see a little something, Steve. Win, lose, or draw, I'm going to see a little something to make me say, damn, I'm really proud to be a Yankee fan. Whether they win or lose, you know, I'm proud, you know, not just because of their history, but because of how they go out and do business, Steve, and give the fans a little something to hold on to. World Series or bust, that's not in my mentality no more. See, would I love to see a World Series? Of course. That's what we play for. But it's not the end of the line for me. They're gonna make me happy over 162 games. They are. They're going to keep me interested, I'll tell you that. They're going to keep me interested until September. I can't say that about the Knicks. My disinterest happens right around January 10th. And then I'm done. I'm looking for spring training games and who's doing this and exhibition and who the Yankees thinking about bringing up. My whole mentality changes come like the end of January, early February. Mm-hmm. Every year. Sad, but it is what it is, buddy.
Yeah, it is. Hey, we got about one more minute. If you tell us your final message on your own spotlight on how you see sports and expectations and your excitement going forward.
Well, my excitement moving forward is, of course, the New York Yankees. My expectations is for the NBA, with all of their moving forward and to move forward in a direction that's going to try to level the playing field. Will it happen? I don't know. Like I said in the beginning, they took baby steps. Now I think their big giant step may have to be the 1-16. And let's see where we go from there. I wish you Giants fans, you know I am about Penn State, Steve. I'm a Penn State guy. I cross my fingers every night and hope you guys get my boy Barkley. And then look for Eli's replacement somewhere down the road. I want Barkley to go to the Giants. I'll have something to root for. A hometown kid from my alumni goes to my hometown team. I couldn't ask for anything more, Steve. But, of course, I thank you for this opportunity. You do a great job. I love this. It's been the best thing since I retired. I've told you that over and over again. Just keep up the good work, buddy.
And thank you for your contributions, your opinions, your insight, your knowledge, and your history on all the sports, and not just the basketball team, the baseball team, of course, football. We love talking sports with you. It's great dialogue with you, especially on the Wednesdays with the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum podcast. But you're always welcome on any of the platforms when we talk football, NBA. We have a smorgasbord a format coming soon. We're just going to just do anything sports at any given time. We'd love to have you join on that anytime as well. But it's, once again, the Bleed Blue Show is family, man. We're one big sports family, man. And we just have a weekly dialogue. Like you said, it's therapy. But when it comes to the spotlight, it's all about the individual stakeholder who has gone out their way to, you know, share our content and their sports knowledge and expertise, man. Once again, I can't thank you enough, man.
You're welcome, Steve.
Yes, sir. That is the Stakeholder Spotlight with Dominic. You can find Dominic on Twitter. That is at DinardoDP. That's DinardoDP on Twitter. This episode will be on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps, as well as the website, BleedBlueShow.com. So definitely share Dominic's episode on his spotlight, going in on our teams and his sports history. It was a great story about your mother, man. I didn't know that. See, that's the beauty of the spotlight, man. Great story.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Yes, sir. Sangria su, Libu.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.